Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome out in, everybody. 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak, here until 12 o'clock, taking you up to Bears pregame on this beautiful Sunday here in Chicago. And I am joined by, for the first time, one Arthur Arkish. Good morning, sir. How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm doing outstanding. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to be riding alongside you talking some Bears today.
We're going to talk a lot of Bears today, absolutely. And we want to talk to everybody out there as well. Of course, you know, the phone number 312-644-6767. You can send us a text message here at 67011. And of course, you can tweet us as well. Love the Twitter, even though it's kind of a cesspool, but it's a part of the job that we need to face head on. And you can tweet me at kevbo_, and I believe you are at
Arthur Arkish.
Arkish. Yep.
Nothing too creative. You can find us there.
Not
it took me a
clever.
Minute to find Kevbo this morning because he's going a little bit more rogue on Twitter, but
yeah.
I was able to find him.
Well, I'm not verified. I'm kind of like the bad boy of the Score here, of Sports Talk Radio in Chicago. Self-appointed, by the way. Nobody's ever referred to me as that except for myself. But more importantly, on to more important things, I should say. There has not been a Bears game, I believe, in like 6 or 7 months, it feels like. The last time we saw the Bears play was in London. You were there.
I was.
It was horrendous, quite frankly. It was not a fun game. It had a very poor result. And going into... Yes, exactly. We all felt that way when Chase Daniel threw that horrible interception at the end of the game. But it was so long ago, and going into a bye week... off of a bad loss like that with, you know, questions about your quarterback and questions regarding injuries for key players and honestly questions around the play calling and the utilization or lack of utilization of certain players. It felt like this was a rougher bye week than most because of all of the other things that were going on around with this team. And they are still 3-2. They're hanging in there in what's looking to be a very tough division, a very deep division. But it doesn't feel... like they're 3-2 right now, and it's just kind of a weird start to the season. We kind of talked about that before the show, how the start of the season here has been a little bizarre.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Last year, remember, they go into the bye fresh off that stomping of the Buccaneers at Soldier Field, Mitch Trubisky's finest game
That's
as a pro.
That's how you want to go into a bye.
At least statistically speaking, right. So this is certainly the polar opposite of that, and frankly, it doesn't really feel like the Saints are in town today, if we're being honest, and they're kind of all reserve backfield, too. Not that the Bears should be taking them lightly or their fans or anything like that, but there's a lot of, it's been an unusual period of time here, and I think what we can safely say is that they're anxious to get back on the field for the reasons you just mentioned, kind of putting out an embarrassing performance in London. But beyond that, just a lot has changed. Two of their more established players to injured reserve, the quarterback, we believe, coming back today. Major comings and goings in the rest of the NFC North. Remember the huge officiating controversy Monday night and watching
new, right?
That. Yeah. Right. So there's, Pat Mahomes gets hurt. There's been a lot going on in the NFL since we last saw the Bears on the field. And, I think the hope certainly has to be that they go out there today and show that they have a real offense now and a quarterback that can instill a bit of hope and take care of, a still dangerous opponent, but a good time, the best time possible to catch the Saints, I think you have to say.
Yeah, about an hour ago, Stacey Dales tweeted out per source confirming that Mitchell Trubisky will start for the Bears today. No setbacks despite his questionable status. He had a great week of practice, both mentally and physically. Had all the starting reps Thursday and Friday, and they all agree in the building that he should and will start. We could probably do the entire 3 hours on Mitchell Trubisky today, so we'll get into that periodically as we go on. We should also tell you, by the way, that we have a couple guests on the program. I've failed to mention that thus far. At 10 o'clock, we are going to talk to J.J. Stankovic. Of course, you know and love J.J., covers the Bears for NBC Sports. And then at 11 o'clock, I believe you also know this gentleman, Eric Edholm, will join us to talk a little more of a national view of the league and what's going on around the Football League today on a full-fledged Football Sunday. And by the way, as I mentioned before as well, we're going to take you up to the pregame show. That is at 12 o'clock until, of course, kickoff at 3:25. And the guys this morning are going to be out at Connie's Pizza in Chicago for the Bears pre- and post-game shows. Enjoy 50-cent wings, specially priced craft beers, and listen to Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz from noon until kickoff, followed by Hub and James Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game. That's Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer Avenue here in Chicago. As far as Mitchell Trubisky goes, he has missed not two full games. He did actually
just
play.
About, right?
Almost. It seemed like just as quickly as he appeared, he was gone in that Vikings game. But that was the game where everybody falls in love with the backup quarterback, as people are wont to do. But then he kind of came back down to earth in the game versus the Oakland Raiders that you were at in London.
Yep.
What do you think about Mitch coming back today? Do you think, health-wise, is it the right time? Do you think he's being rushed or anything? Do you think that Chase Daniel's performance versus the Raiders had anything to do with maybe like, okay, we got to get the starter back in there? What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I think, you're right. Everyone, the backup quarterback, we know about the love affair, especially in this city. But that changed pretty fast, no doubt. And it's easy to forget, but Chase only led one touchdown drive in that Vikings game, too. It was a tough spot for him, no question about it. They were playing extremely shorthanded. A lot of guys really played over their heads. But, it became very clear very quickly 2 weeks ago that as soon as Mitch was ready to return, that was the direction the Bears need to go for better or worse. So here we are. I don't think that Chase's performance in London had any bearing on the decision to get Mitch back in there. I do think that, you know, quite obviously the injury being on his left shoulder versus his right, he admitted as much to us this week. It could have ended his season. I mean, it was a lot like what happened last year, except on the other shoulder. That only took him out two games, of course. But interesting that they were both outside the pocket, sort of scrambling type injuries too. So we'll see how that affects his play. And I don't expect any issues with the arm strength or, you know, he's going to be able to make all the throws, obviously, again, with the left shoulder ailing, but he is going to have to wear a harness on it. There is going to be some adjusting as far as how restricted he feels, and it's something he's never done before. So in addition to continuing to kind of learn the ropes in the NFL in year three and master Matt Nagy's playbook, there's one more thing on his plate now, but the time is right because time is, frankly, running short on Mitch Trubisky to start answering a lot more questions for this team.
Yeah, more questions than answers with Mitch Trubisky in year three in the NFL. There's only so long people could say, oh, he's a young quarterback. It's only his third year. It's only his second year in the offense. And there are always kind of warring factions when it comes to a polarizing player. And in the case of Mitch Trubisky, there are these people who have already written him off, you know, on one end of the spectrum. This guy's a bust, wasted pick. You could have had the MVP of the league. You could have had Deshaun Watson. You could have had anybody else. And they traded up, frankly, to get him, which is also maybe not the best thing, or it wasn't the best thing at that time. And then there's the other section of the fan base who are saying, got to be patient, got to give him more time. You know, he looks good sometimes, and he's a good athlete, and he's coming along, and blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty much somewhere in the middle right now with Mitchell Trubisky. I think calling him a bust might be a little premature, but I don't think he's ever going to develop into a Patrick Mahomes type player. I think that might be a bridge too far at this point. But so far during Trubisky's reign, let's call it here, as the starting quarterback in Chicago, where are you with him and his development?
Not as far as you'd like to see, but I'm with you too. I think all along it was going to be three seasons, the amount of time realistically and fairly that he gets to prove either that he can be the guy here, whether that's be the game manager with an elite defense or, you know, more preferably certainly be the guy who shows the ability at times to kind of put this team on his shoulders. That's been pretty rare. I think we've seen spells where he's fine as the game manager, but there's just so many elements here. I mean, you need to stay on the field. Like I said, he missed a couple games last year with the shoulder. Now he's returning from another injury. I know it's not his fault or anything, but obviously prior to a few weeks ago, Drew Brees, that was automatic. And, you know, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, you're not worrying about when these guys are going to be on or off the field. So, He's got a lot of stuff to answer from a football ability side. He's got, you know, things to answer from a durability side. And what I feel is that he's got a great opportunity here. I mean, this is a tough defense today, but there's going to be an opportunity for him to kind of change the narrative still here quite a bit. But I also feel that the Bears can't be, you know, not ready to move and make important decisions, because this is the time where they need to be considering all their options and giving Mitch these final 11 games. And then if they're not sold, the worst thing they can do is drag their feet or double down on a mistake. I'm not suggesting it is, but I am suggesting that by compounding an issue, if you're not sure what you have, by, you know, hitching your wagon harder to Mitch, that's not what they should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is their window, so to speak, right now. Right. You know, they have the elite defense. They have the coaching staff that they think is the right coaching staff, and the ones that can kind of take this thing to the next level. And you're right, they can't afford to drag their feet or lollygag, for lack of a better term, regarding the quarterback position. And we know general managers sometimes can fall in love with certain players, especially when they have so much invested in a certain guy. And when Trubisky is the second overall pick, you moved up, and Brian Pace loves moving up in drafts, by the way. That guy can't, you know, give away his draft picks any more quickly than he's already done it. But this is kind of make or break, and you can't keep going to the excuse that he's a young quarterback and that it's only his third year and all of the same things we've heard over and over again. It kind of has to be now. And I understand that's why people are frustrated too, because he seems like sometimes he's holding the rest of the team back. Do you think that that's fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, yes. I mean, the offense, pretty consistently under Mitch's time as a starter, even with Matt Nagy, more often than not, it's had to be bailed out by the defense. And that's just a lot of burden to put on this defense's shoulders. I think that more than anything is what we saw happen in London. No, it wasn't a good performance. Obviously, we allowed 2 90-plus-yard touchdown drives early and late that kind of decide that game. Yes, I realized the Kevin Pierre-Lewis penalty and some other things that factored in there, but I'm not suddenly worried that the defense has fallen off. I just think that it's going to need more help from the offense. I realize, of course, it was Chase and not Mitch last week, but that's just kind of generally speaking. So, you know, the Bears are going to have a decision this spring on the fifth-year option for Mitch Trubisky. So that's kind of the next, you know, through watching all his play, good and bad, throughout the rest of the season, that's going to be the next kind of, you know, flashpoint with Mitch. They still will have him for under contract for next year, but you have to make that decision almost 2 years out. So it's going to be fascinating to see certainly what happens between now and then. I would just reiterate that it's still all in front of Mitch, no matter how slowly this thing has started for him. He's got all the ability. The physical side of it is not the issue. Curious to see how he comes back from this injury and whether he can maximize this next stretch.
That's Arthur Arkish. My name's Kevin Zipak. We're here until 12 o'clock this morning, taking you up to Bears pregame here on The Score. Of course, the phone number 312-644-6767. You can also tweet us as well. Lots of tweets and text messages coming in here. 67011 is how you send us a text, by the way. 630 says that he's not a bust, but he was also a bad draft pick. That's on Ryan Pace's shoulders, who, by the way, didn't find a quarterback his first 2 years and also signed Mike Glennon. There is that as well. Maybe Ryan Pace has no idea what a quarterback looks like. There could be evidence pointing to that. We're going to take a quick timeout here. We'll be back with your phone calls, your tweets, your texts, and everything else. I want to ask you a little bit more about the game in London and how that trip was overall.
Sure.
And then we'll talk a little bit more about the Saints as well, because as you mentioned, the Saints this season have kind of been winning because of their defense. It's not the Saints that we've kind of grown to know and love with Drew Brees and hurling the ball all over the place and kind of lighting up the score. They're doing it a different way, and I want to ask you a little bit about that as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here if you'd like to get in on the Bears conversation this morning. My name's Kevin Zipek. That is Arthur Arkish. We're here until 12 on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going into the bye week, you want to get a win, you know, to be 4-1, but that didn't happen in London, as we all know. So we just want to come in here and put our best defense on the field going forward.
Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak, hanging out with Arthur Arkish here today until 12 o'clock. We'll take you right up to Bears pregame with Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin Krutz. They're out at Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer Avenue here in Chicago for the pregame show today. Go out there, get yourself some 50-cent wings, I believe, the special today. That's pretty unbelievable on a Sunday. Usually on a Sunday, they don't give you the good food specials because they figure people are already coming anyways to watch the football. But they're doubling down there. They're giving you the football, the pregame show, and the wing special. Why aren't we at Connie's Pizza right now? Adam, is this your fault?
I had nothing to do with this.
Okay.
If it was up to me, we would all be there. Trust me. 50-cent wings, man?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Let's go.
If it was up to me, yeah, we'd be on our way right now.
Phone number here is 312-644-6767. The voice you heard on the way in was Bears defensive lineman Nick Williams talking about the game in London, which I want to talk a little bit more with you about that, Arthur, real quick. You know, we want to look ahead. That's what we do here. We're optimists. We're looking toward the future, not the past. But we do have to remark a little bit on the game versus the Oakland Raiders in London, because it was the last time we saw the Bears play. And you had said to me during the break, it was the first time the Bears had played in London since 2011, correct?
You need to have your mic on when you're co-hosting on the radio. Sorry about that, guys.
So far, you've locked yourself out of the bathroom. How many other foibles have you already committed here today on the program?
Well, just give it time. I believe we're on until noon. So, yeah, depending on how much time you have, there could be quite a few more. Anyway, yes, it is. It was the Bears' first time playing in London, I believe, since 2011. I think last time they're at Wembley Stadium. I know for sure they were not at Tottenham Hotspur.
Right, exactly. I can say that. Well, I mean, that's probably one of the reasons they lost. They got all that Tottenham Hotspur stink all over them. Of course, you know, we don't want any of that going around. But during the break, you quipped that the last time that they were in London, they probably didn't fly in on the Friday just 2 days before the game.
Right.
And that you kind of said that tongue-in-cheekily, but there is something to that. And a lot of people thought the team didn't look ready. They came out of the gates a little bit flat. You said that the Raiders kind of out-physicaled them. How much of an effect do you think that coming in just 2 days before the game, you know, across the ocean, 6 hours ahead, whatever the time zone difference is, how much of an effect do you think that had on the performance against the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, I'll come at it a slightly different way. It clearly had an effect. I mean, the team was totally flat in the first half of that game, and if you don't make that connection, then you're kind of just, you know, pulling the wool over your eyes. But the way I would put it is that, if we're going to sit here and be as critical of Mitch as we are, and it's well-deserved, we should point out that Matt Nagy hasn't been at his best, frankly, early on in year two. I don't think it means we should be panicking or he's not gonna, you know, soon once again resemble the coach of the year that everyone fell in love with so quickly last year. But, you know, it's just one small example. The decision to fly in on Friday, he used his previous you know, he used his strategy when he was with the Chiefs in 2015 under Andy Reid as kind of the blueprint that they wanted to replicate. But that was a little bit different situation. I mean, they were facing a Lions team that, and not that I don't think the Raiders are going to the playoffs or anything, but John Gruden was pretty competent coaching that game. And the Lions had just made a coordinator change the prior week and they just got stomped by the Chiefs. So again, it's just one example. I mean, look at Matt Nagy's offense. We can find a lot larger and more easily, you know, illustrative one of the struggles he's had here. You know, it can get turned around just as quickly. I think the best thing you can say thus far, because again, clearly the offense hasn't quite been figured out yet, and that's the ultimate disappointment now, 22 games into this thing under Matt Nagy. But his leadership and the way that his players, I think, respond to him still isn't in question at all. And I think that's what should make you kind of more confident that he can turn this thing around. But again, I'm more excited to see how this offense specifically looks with Mitch Trubisky again, with a huge O-line change that I know we'll get to a little bit more here, with some other kind of changes coming about, because that's what needs to happen if the Bears are to kind of get back on track and still realize their goals at the beginning of the season. It can't be a second straight year where the defense is having to, you know, carry most of the weight. It's just not a sustainable formula.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the thing about the offensive line, because we do need to talk about that a little bit. Obviously, Kyle Long, this season didn't look like Kyle Long. Right. You know, if his name wasn't Kyle Long, then maybe he might not have even made the team this year. I mean, in the offseason, there was the contract, kind of a haircut that Kyle Long got, so to speak, kind of a salary
absolutely.
Cut, yep. or a salary cut of his salary. Pay yep. cut, yes. And people were kind of thinking, okay, well, let's see. You know, he says all the right things in the offseason. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm finally 100% healthy, blah, blah, blah. He hasn't really been healthy since like 2016. I mean, when you look at year by year with Kyle Long, you know, he's missing substantial chunks each and every season. And now he's been put on the IR, unlikely to return this season, unlikely to return to the Bears next year, I would probably wager. But what do you make of the offensive line so far as a unit this season? I feel like they have underperformed a little bit, especially when you look at some of the salaries that these guys are carrying with them. I mean, Charles Leno is making a ton of money. Massey has got a pretty nice, healthy contract himself. And the offensive line mm-hmm. has made other parts of the offense look bad by proxy, because when the offensive line's not playing well, it's going to be hard to run the ball. It's going to be hard to have time for your quarterback. Why do you think that they have struggled a little bit, the O-line?
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate question. You're right. I would go as far as to say it's been the most disappointing unit on this team, you know, through the first five games, largely because of what the expectations were coming in. All five starters returning. You alluded to a couple of the big contracts. Cody Whitehair, of course, the most recent one right before the season to cash in. He became among the highest paid guards in football. Of course, he didn't play guard. He was paid based off of largely what he had done at center. So I do think that flip-flop inside clearly has not gone as seamless as many expected, and as we kind of were told it was appearing to go throughout the spring and summer with James Daniels there, the second-year player, of course, now at center, and Cody Whitehair out at left guard. Charles Leno, his focus has not been the same. I mean, he's already matched last year's penalty total.
That's crazy to me how many penalties he's committed. It's insane.
Right. And these are drive killers too. These aren't just, just fill up kind of the stat sheet or whatever, if you will, but these are really crushing the Bears early on against the Packers. That was the case early on against the Raiders. That was the case. So, I don't know. I think it's just a focus thing. I don't think he's declining physically yet. I think 28 years old. I think he's still been okay in pass protection. So Matt Nagy was very careful to say, and I think it needs to be reiterated as well. You're right. Kyle Long clearly didn't look like himself all season. He also didn't miss a practice in the spring or summer coming off an offseason finally with no surgery. Yeah. So I don't think that we were kind of being sold anything with regard to his health and him looking better and feeling better. But for whatever reason, and it still is a little unclear whether this, Matt Nagy had said wear and tear is part of it, but, you know, hip is the official injury that he was on the report with and went to season-ending injured reserve with. So still a little curious. A lot of the timing of the way all of that went down, plays every snap in London. Suddenly he is, unfortunately made the fall guy a little bit here. And just, again, other stuff going on. We learned that Alex Bars had an opportunity to leave the Bears to go to the Patriots, decided not to.
Interesting.
Suddenly he is promoted to the active roster after, you know, the week after that decision when Kyle goes to IR. So a lot of moving parts here. Harry Hiestand is among the most respected offensive line coaches in the league, and he thus shares some culpability in this too. I mean, they just need to get it going for them to get kind of manhandled the way they did by that Raiders front without Cleveland Farrell that had, I think, only five sacks in the first four games. Not a good look at all, and again, that is part of the reason why I'm so anxious to see how they look coming out of here, coming out of the bye and entering today against a really good Saints defensive front. And with at least one change, we can get into that more, whether it's going to be Rashad Coward, Ted Larson, Alex Bars. That one I don't expect.
That is Arthur Arkish. My name is Kevin Zipak. We're here until 12 o'clock today on The Score. The phone number is, of course, 312-644-6767. And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Every Sunday with the Chicago Wolves is a Little Debbie Sunday. Kids receive a giveaway at the door and get player autographs after the game. The Wolves host Milwaukee today at 3 p.m., For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Monday through Friday, I work on the Mully and Haw show, and we get a lot of let's say, interesting opinions from not only the callers, but from a couple of the wackos that work on that program as well, not mentioning any names, Dustin yeah. Rhodes. But a lot has been made of, and this goes back to the offensive line, but a lot has been made about the lack of commitment to the running game that the Bears have shown so far this season. We thought possibly, you know, with the change, with bringing in David Montgomery, again, trading up to get him, Ryan Pace loves trading away draft picks, but you get rid of Jordan Howard, who never really seemed like a Matt Nagy guy for whatever reason. You know, there was always the thing about he's not good in this offense, he doesn't fit the scheme, et cetera, et cetera. So they go out, they draft David Montgomery, and you haven't seen a ton of him yet so far this season. And for whatever reason, they just have not been able to get him the ball and maybe let him make plays like the way that we all thought he was going to. Do you think that does come down to the ineffectiveness of the offensive line, or do you think it's a problem with play calling, or do you think it's maybe a mixture of both?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those things. I think it's a combination of Nagy trying to figure out exactly what the right distribution is. I mean, Tariq Cohn has been even more invisible, you could argue,
yeah,
than David Montgomery. Unfortunately, that goes back to to the playoff loss in January when Cohn got like four touches. I know Nagy was so upset about it afterward, but
hey, you're the one calling the plays, man.
One of the more terse moments I can recall in the year and a half or whatever it's been covering Nagy, and with good reason, obviously coming off the biggest loss of his coaching career, and in the immediate aftermath asked by a reporter whether he had gotten Tariq Cohn the ball enough, and you should have seen his response was just he didn't have
salty
to say much.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary. So I think that all of those things, I mean, they haven't exceeded 30 rushing attempts yet in the game here, but I'm not of the meatball faction that just wants to, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and believes that that can consistently be effective. I do understand the value in trying to wear down a defense and probably more importantly keep yours on the sideline and make sure it's not getting worn down. So there are some spots where you'd like to see some drives get sustained a little bit better, maybe be able to utilize the run game a little bit more effectively and timely. But I think the O-line needs to be doing its part more. And then I think Nagy needs to follow suit, and they need to find more opportunities, different ways. It'll be interesting to see if they've kind of mixed the scheme up a little bit. They had shown a little bit more of an H-back in the backfield with J.P. Holtz in recent weeks. It's a zone blocking scheme, but maybe they want to work in some new plays that might work better for them. I'm not quite sure. Again, this is nothing that you'd be hoping to still have to worry about figuring out in week 7, but that's where they are, and there's no doubt that after trading up and giving up everything they did for David Montgomery. Oh, and by the way, Jordan Howard has looked pretty effective in Philadelphia in a scheme that's supposed to be almost the same as Matt Nagy, so that part's kind of interesting too as this thing goes on here. We'll see if today's the day to get the run game going. Again, this Saints defensive front is outstanding, and it really rushes the passer well. So it would behoove the Bears to try and protect a Mitch, you know, at less than 100% with his shoulder, to try and, you know, take some heat off him that way.
This segment is brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. 67011 is how you send us a text message, and you can tweet us as well. I'm at Kevbo_. He is at Arthur Arkish. His name is Arthur Arkish. My name is Kevin Zipak. We're here until 12 o'clock. We're going to take you right up to Bears pregame on the Score. And a reminder that once again, that Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin are at Connie's Pizza today for the pregame show, 2373 South Archer Avenue in Chicago. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit more about the Saints defense, because I think that, as I alluded to earlier, people, when still, just because of the last decade or so, and, you know, watching a Hall of Famer and Drew Brees do what he does, people just, when they think Saints, they don't think defense. But now it's a different Saints team, and they're winning. They've been winning in a different fashion so far this year, even with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. So I want to ask you a little bit about what maybe people don't know about the Saints. We're going to do that here momentarily. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. That's Arthur Arkish. I'm Kevin Zipak. We're here until noon today here on 670 The Score.
They're pretty damn good. they get after you now. They're salty and got a lot of respect for those guys. It's evident on tape that they don't mess around. You know, they're tough. So we're going to know that. We'll be prepared for it. But what better way than to you know, that's where we're at. We want to go against the best. And it's a challenge to our guys. So it's you pay respect and you let them know that they're great players, but let's go.
Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zpack. I'm hanging out with Arthur Arkish. We're here until 12 o'clock today on The Score, taking you up to Bears pregame with Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin. They're going to be on from 12 to kickoff at 3:25. On the way in there, you heard the voice of Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about the Saints defense. And Arthur, before the break, I mentioned that when you think Saints, you still think of Drew Brees and Sean Payton and the explosive offense and all of the things we've come to know and appreciate from the Saints over the past, decade or so.
Right.
But now Brees is injured. Alvin Kamara, their dynamic running back, is injured for today as well. But Teddy Bridgewater, who has replaced Brees as the quarterback during his injury, has gone 4-0 as the starter. And they're not doing it with offense. They're doing it with defense, which a lot of people, again, you know, when you think of the Saints, you don't think of their defense. But you heard Matt Nagy on the way in praising them. They're salty. They get after it. All the good things that he was painting the picture with there. What do you make of the Saints defense and in particular their front seven?
It is tough. You're absolutely right. Of course, Sean Payton and Drew Brees and that, that really prolific connection that they've had now for almost a decade and a half. But when you look at the past several years of drafting by the Saints and Jeff Ireland there and Mickey Loomis, they've done a really nice job, especially with their premium picks. Last year, it was Marcus Davenport, the big trade up with the Green Bay Packers to get that extra first rounder. Or actually, I guess it would be to get back into round one for the Saints. And he is just coming on really strong of late opposite Cameron Jordan. So I think that matchup today with Marcus Davenport and Bobby Massey is going to be one that's really, really huge here and is going to be really challenging, I think, for the Bears just because of what Davenport, the former Texas San Antonio pass rusher, can do with his length and with his size and his strength. So that's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. The year before, 2 years before that, of course, the 2 years prior to that, was Marshawn Lattimore and Sheldon Rankin. So two other premium picks spent on the defense that have kind of made over the kind of the look of Dennis Allen's group there. How Mitch attacks or decides not to attack Marshawn Lattimore today is obviously going to be really important because he's a top 10 corner in this league. It's a big drop off after him to Eli Apple. And the Bears, as of yet, have one wide receiver who has been able to consistently separate, be reliable, catch passes. Obviously, I'm talking about Allen Robinson. And obviously with Taylor Gabriel coming back today with
Anthony
Miller. That's
huge, I think, yeah.
I think so, too, especially to try and stretch defenses and especially the fact that Gabriel, of course, was coming off the best game of his life when he gets hurt in Washington. So that's just another interesting layer to today is how can these guys – it feels like forever ago – Kevin, but Mitch played his best game of the season too in Washington, three touchdowns.
It does feel like forever ago.
It's bizarre. I was thinking that on the way in this morning. It feels like a whole season has passed during the bye week. But so we'll see how they're able to use those guys. And then again, Sheldon Rankins too, just the third part of this, in addition to Cam Jordan, in addition to solid linebacker play behind him and DeMario Davis and AJ Klein, Sheldon Rankins is a physical marvel. I want to say the dude ruptured his Achilles in January, if not December. He's already back and looking kind of like his old self again, and he's going to be a beast inside for, again, we've kind of hit on it. We don't know for sure who's going to replace Kyle Long, whether it'll be Rashad Coward today, whether it'll be Ted Larson, whether maybe they'll rotate, as Matt Nagy kind of hinted as a possibility the way they did with James Daniels and Eric Kush early on last season. But that's just one more guy that is going to be a handful and needs to be accounted for to make sure Mitch makes it out of this one safe.
Yeah, Eric Kush, one of my favorite Bears by far. we were just talking about the Saints and their defensive front. Obviously, the Bears, a big loss for their defensive front, and we haven't even really gotten into it yet.
Yeah.
But Akeem Hicks to the IR earlier this week. How big of a loss is that for a guy who finally last year, I think, got the recognition nationally and even locally as well, maybe in some corners? You know, if you've really watched the Bears and paid attention, you've known how good Akiem Hicks has been for quite some time now. But last year, he really busted out, you know, made the Pro Bowl. And now right. this year, you know, having his season cut short by injury this early in the year, how big of a loss is that for a Bears team, which honestly, the defensive front this year at times hasn't looked as strong as maybe we saw at certain points last year?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, you know, 6'7", 350 pounds, if we're being literal. But no, he's their most established player up front, and I love Eddie Goldman. I do. I think he's on the precipice of being a Pro Bowler as well.
Absolutely.
A terrific player. But the Bears don't really know what life without Akiem Hicks is like. He's been here for 3-plus seasons. His first missed game was that Vikings game in week 4 because of a knee, actually. And then he's a game-time decision in London. He makes it back. He goes down with a nasty-looking dislocated elbow on the 8th snap of the game. And that was a tale of two kind of next men up games for the Bears, because against Minnesota, Nick Williams, Roy Robertson Harris, Abdullah Anderson, Jonathan Harris, all those dudes, Jonathan Harris, all those guys were outstanding. And really that probably was the Bears' best defensive effort of the season thus far. And that was without Akiem Hicks. So you're thinking, oh, you know, that's encouraging. Maybe sure. some of these depth pieces are a little more, you know, maybe are a little bit better than we thought even. And then they go to Oakland and you have, or excuse me, they go to London to play the Raiders. And it's hard to reconcile what the difference was, whether it was maybe the fact that they had Hicks and then lost him so early on, and that's kind of can be like a jarring thing in game to right. overcome. Whether, again, the Raiders just had a nastier disposition in that game. It certainly felt like it. Richie Incognito, real class citizen
right.
yeah. there. Yeah, with a couple of nasty penalties, obviously, in that one. But, yeah, they just took it to, unfortunately, Nick Williams and Eddie Goldman and that whole gang up front. So we'll see. I think Roy Robertson-Harris is a player in this league who's getting ready to get paid, likely by someone other than the Bears here in the next year or two. But it's just a new role for him, you know, when you can't count on Akiem being this awesome snap eater. I mean, he's in there almost every play in making an impact versus the run and pass. So we'll find out. One big boost for the Bears that should come today is Bilal Nichols' return for the first time since week 1. He's got the broken right hand. He'll have to play with a club on. But the Bears need numbers, if not, you know, if nothing else, and getting Bilal back. And he's obviously more than just a number. He had an all-rookie season last year, really sure. exceeded expectations. So how he can work back into this mix, likely as a starter, that's what he was when he went down, will give us a better indication of how they're going to be able to overcome Akiem's loss.
Well, speaking of players who were rookies last year, during the break, we talked a little bit about Raquan Smith and about how the game versus the Raiders, he didn't quite look like himself and maybe didn't have that kind of ferociousness or the aggression, however you want to label it. You know, we're not going to get into the whole personal issue thing. You know, that's been driven into the ground at this point. We're not going to get into that at all. But do you expect him to bounce back today? I mean, we can go back to the London thing and the jet lag and how they got there. And maybe that did have an effect. But it seemed like he in particular versus the Raiders just didn't look like the guy that we saw that performed so well last season.
Yep, and I think also, for obvious reasons, he's a bigger question mark going into today.
Sure. Because
we don't really know what was going on with his personal issue that had him a late scratch. Of course, they were without Roquan in addition to Akiem Hicks in the Vikings game and played so well, Nick Kwiatkowski and Kevin Pierre-Lewis in his absence. So it's hard to say. You know, the Bears do get a lift seeing Latavius Murray and not Alvin Kamara, who leads the NFL in broken tackles. And, you know, obviously
he's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, an incredible player. And we should just point out, this is the first game in his NFL career he's going to miss with injury. So let's not, I don't think we should discount how significant it is that the Bears get a Saints backfield without Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara. So, all these things are connected, because how well Roquan can play is dependent on how well the play up front is. And, you know, you lose a massive individual like that in Akiem Hicks, someone who occupies blocks and allows Roquan's standout speed to shine. It's uncharted waters here, and we'll just have to Kind of wait and see how it comes together. But if I were a betting man, yes, I would bet on Roquan bouncing back because he's such a special talent and because what he and Trevathan were building there up until suddenly that was kind of thrown up in the air with uncertainty a few weeks ago really was special, and I don't see any reason why they can't regain that.
Phone number 312-644-6767. 67011 is how you send us a text message. And, of course, you can tweet us as well. I'm Kevin Zipak. You can find me on Twitter at Kevbo underscore. That's Arthur Arkish. You can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Really reached into the bag of tricks for that one.
Thank you.
Good job.
Wait until you see the Twitter bio. We're talking about not reaching into a bag of tricks. I think it might be blank right now, actually. So.
We're going to talk to J.J. Stankovitz at the top of the hour. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. Before we hit the break here, though, I want to ask you about Leonard Floyd, polarizing player, I think it would be fair to say, another player that Ryan Pace traded up to acquire, and he's shown flashes, but he's kind of been on the milk carton since the first game of the season where he showed out a little bit and had those a couple of sacks versus Green Bay. What do you make of Leonard Floyd overall? Why do you think that he does tend to go missing sometimes for seemingly weeks at a time? It's kind of, I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, a great question. It's tough. The 9th overall pick, of course, in 2016, Pace jumps in front of the Giants to get him. Much like with Mitch Trubisky, Leonard Floyd shouldn't have to apologize for when he was drafted and by what, you know.
Sure, but, you know, when a player is taken highly or given a big contract.
No. You're right, yeah.
To whom much is given, much is expected.
I don't want to make apologies for Leonard Floyd. I just think it's a bit unfortunate for those guys that's kind of part of the deal, but
yeah.
That's part of the deal. That's who they are. That's their draft pedigree. So as far as why he's not why that first double-digit sack season hasn't arrived yet and why he's not consistently on a down-to-down basis able to capitalize off the opportunities he's getting largely because of Khalil Mack on the other side of him, I'm not entirely sure. We had a pretty candid conversation with Ted Monachino, the outside linebacker coach, this week. We'll get into it a little bit more with JJ here at the top of the hour, but all he would keep saying is that Leonard wants it. This isn't a commitment thing. Leonard badly wants to, greatly affect games, but he also alluded to the fact that there are some one-on-one chances there and that they're still working on how he is dipping into the bag of tricks to finish rushes. A lot of the same stuff that we heard about in the offseason. And then we saw in week one when he puts that bull rush on David Bakhtiari and we're all like, holy cow,
there it is.
And we've seen the speed, but there's the speed to power. Is this something that he can sustain? Clearly still working on sustaining that. And we'll see. He'll have a tough one today, too, that the Saints tackles are really good. And Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead.
All right, let's get to J.J. Stankovitz. He is going to join us right at 10 o'clock. I'm Kevin Zipak. That is Arthur Arkish. We're going to be hanging out until 12 o'clock today. That's when Hub, Pat Manley, and Olin will take over for Bears pregame from 12 to 3:25. They're out at Connie's Pizza today, 2373 South Archer Avenue. That's at 12 o'clock. Until then, you've got me. I'm Kevin Zipak. That is Arthur Arkish. We've got J.J. Stankovitz next. More Bears talk all day long here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.